Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. And today we'd like to have a special presentation to share with you with Dr. Reynolds Showers, who serves with Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Dr. Showers recently spoke at IBJM's annual prophecy conference on the book of Daniel. Now, without further ado, here is Dr. Showers.
Now, in chapter 10 of Daniel, we noted how this heavenly being came to Daniel to try to give him the final revelation that Daniel was going to be given in his search. God, what's going to happen to our people of Israel, you know, with everything you've already revealed to me? And that revelation, the content of it, really is contained in chapters 11 and 12. Chapters 11 and 12. And so in the opening verses, the first 35 verses of chapter 11, the heavenly being revealed to him again the fact that Greece had a great leader who was going to conquer Medo-Persia, but then that leader, Alexander the Great, was going to die very shortly, just maybe 3 or 4 years after he completely conquered the Medo-Persian Empire. And as we saw earlier chapters, that his four leading generals would subdivide his Grecian kingdom into four divisions, but only two of those divisions would have great significance, particularly for the people of Israel and everything. And those two major ones were down in Egypt and up in Syria. Egypt, the southern neighbor of Israel, Syria, the northern neighbor of Israel. And when you go through the first 35 verses of chapter 11, it describes how those two Grecian divisions were going to wage war back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth against each other. And again, goes into detail about Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian ruler, how he was going to try to force the people of Israel off into false worship and worshiping the chief Greek god Zeus and all the rest. But it gives a lot more detail. And we don't have time to go through all the detail, but in our commentary again, we deal with all 35 of those verses. And who was the king of Egypt and the king of Syria at this particular time? And it ends up again with Antiochus Epiphanes dealing with him. That's the first 35 verses of Daniel chapter 11. When you come to verse 36, we come now not to a past ruler that's going to be a problem for Israel, but a future ruler for Israel. And many Old Testament scholars believe there is that gap of time between the end of verse 35 and the beginning of verse 36. And you may want to turn with me to Daniel 11 and look at verse 36. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. In the future, there's going to be a king who will demand that his will be put into effect. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. In other words, he wants to be exalted to the level of deity and be the greatest god that's ever been worshipped by human beings upon planet Earth, is what he was going to do. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, literally monstrous things against the God of God. He's going to be a blasphemer against the true and the living God. Obviously, Jehovah, the God of Israel. And he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Again, there's that term indignation, until God's program of chastening the people of Israel for their rebellion is accomplished. So in other words, this is going to be the last ruler over Israel who's going to go after that nation. And God will use to chasten the last generation of Israel before Jesus comes in the second coming to planet Earth. Then it goes on to say, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, a lot of people say, well, that he must be a Jew, because they often talk about the God of the fathers, you know, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That may be true, but the problem is the word translated God here has a plural ending. It's Elohim. And that I am ending on it is plural, Elohim. And sometimes it's used for God, because of the plurality of the Godhead, the three persons, but many times it's used for pagan gods, plural. And he'll have no regard for whatever god or gods his ancestors worship, nor the desire of women. Now, a lot have said this must mean that he's a bachelor. He doesn't have a man's normal physical desire toward a woman. Or some say, well, maybe he's going to be gay. He has a desire toward men, but not toward a woman, and that type of thing. And some back when Henry Kissinger was the Secretary of State for America, he was a Jew and he was a bachelor. And some overzealous Christians wrote a tract saying, he's the Antichrist. He's described right here in Daniel 11, verse 37. And they scattered that tract all across the country. But not long after that, he got married and shot the whole thing down. What's talking about here is objects of worship. Notice it talks about he has no regard for the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. The whole context is an object of worship. Well, what would that be, the desire of women? What was the desire of most Hebrew women in Bible times? To be the mother of the Messiah. And so they would often call the Messiah the desire of women. And so what it's saying is, this man, this future ruler that's going to persecute the people of Israel, he'll have no regard for any God that's been worshipped. And one of them is, have no regard for the Messiah, for the true Messiah. He will oppose everything the true Messiah would be and what he would stand for and all the rest. And he has no regard for any God. And here's why. He shall magnify himself above all. This one wants to be the only God that's worshipped by mankind. Now, when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul's describing the Antichrist, Paul practically quotes these statements from Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37 is the Antichrist. That he's going to be a blasphemer. He's going to take his seat in the temple of God and declare that he is God and require all of his subjects to worship him as God, and those who don't, he will eliminate them from planet Earth. This is a description of the future Antichrist. Then verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now, the idea is this. He's going to make warfare his God. You know, whatever is the ultimate thing that drives a person and they're committed to is really their God, is really their God. And so this man is going to be a great man of war. He's going to bow before the God of armaments and everything is what it's saying. And a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. The implication seems to be he's going to expend great quantities of wealth in order to train and equip his armed forces. Because this man, when he comes to power, is going to want to rule and dominate the entire world. The entire world. It's going to, at great expenses, will he go to try to accomplish that particular goal. Seems to be the implication. Verse 39, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God. Well, he makes war, basically, his God. Makes war his God. Usually we don't worship war. Usually people don't worship war as a God. But again, this is what's driving him. Warfare, to conquer the whole world, bring it under his one-man control. That's the altar before he bows and worships, you know, conquest of the whole world for his honor and for his own glory. And then it says, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He's going to exalt his God of war by conquering more and more and more parts of the world to bring under his one-man dominion. And then it says, toward the end of verse 39, he shall cause them to rule over many. What that's saying is, as he conquers groups of people, he will turn over sub-rule under him to some of his most devoted followers to exercise his rule over these newly conquered groups of people. That's how he'll honor those who bow before him and worship him as God. He'll give them authority under his rule to administer his rule on his behalf over these newly conquered groups of people. And finally, he shall divide the land. He shall divide the land as he conquers new geographical areas of the world. He will reward his most devoted followers by turning over rulership of those newly conquered areas of the world. So he will honor his most devoted followers in positions of rule or with ownership of new places of land. And notice, for gain, literally for price, is what the Hebrew says. The idea is this: for those people to get those honors and gifts from him, they have to pay a horrible price. They have to sell their souls wholesale to this man and worship this man as God. And you know, Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that when this man takes a seat in the temple and decrees that he is God, those who have rejected the Messiah up to that point as their Savior, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will end up believing Antichrist's claim that he is God. And once that happens, they can't get saved. Once they worship this man as God, they cannot get saved. They will thereby seal their doom for all eternity out of the judgment of God. So what's being described here in Daniel 11, verses 36 to 39, is the future Antichrist of the revived Roman Empire, that little horn we saw in Daniel chapter 7, who, after you have this 10-division federation with 10 equal co-rulers, this man rises from within that revived Roman Empire, and as he does, he overthrows 3 of the original 10 rulers and thereby gains control over that future revived Roman Empire. Now, with that in mind, this is just the context of what we see for the rest here. Look at verse 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now, right away, that verse poses some questions for us. First of all, what is meant by the time of the end? The time of the end. Interestingly, the Bible divides all of history into two ages. All of history of the two ages. The first age is the age before Messiah is here in the world, literally ruling the whole world on behalf of God. In other words, the age before the second coming of Jesus Christ back to planet Earth, before he sets up his kingdom. Paul in Titus calls that the present age. That's the age we're living in right now, the present age. It's the age before Messiah comes to Earth in his second coming and sets up God's kingdom rule upon planet Earth. But then, the age after Messiah comes to rule the world, the Bible calls that the age to come, the age to come. If you read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, it talks about the age to come, the age to come. And it's talking about the age when Messiah is here, ruling the world on behalf of God. Well, what's being described here is the end time of the present pre-Messianic age, the end portion of the present age before Messiah is here, ruling the world on behalf of God. Well, what would be the end time of the present age before Messiah comes to set up God's kingdom rule upon planet Earth? The last 7 years, the tribulation period, the tribulation period. That's the last portion of the present age we're now living in before Messiah comes and sets up the age to come, the millennial kingdom, God's kingdom here upon planet Earth. So what we're being told here is, in verse 40, what's going to take place now from verse 40 on are events of the future tribulation period, of the future tribulation period under the rule of the Antichrist. Now, the next thing we have to ask here is this: who are the king of the south and the king of the north here? Well, when you go to verses 1 through 35 of Daniel 11, which describes the ruler, the Grecian ruler down in Egypt, and the other one up in Syria, they are called, the ones in Egypt are always called the king of the south. And the rulers of the ones in Syria in verse 1 through 35 are always referring to the ruler of Syria, north of Israel.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynolds Showers, who went over the book of Daniel at a recent prophecy conference here at IBJM. And we invite you to come back next week as we will continue our series on the book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150. Or go to our website at ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.